Today is Monday, September 17th, 2007, and you're listening to episode number 50 in the Taylor Merrick Podcast sponsored by GoDaddy. Today you'll learn about surviving a layoff, 10 steps to a successful online empire, and Intel on the lookout.
Welcome to the Taylor Merrick Podcast, the 3-in-1 podcast on finances, business, and technology. Podcasting to you from the studios of TaylorMerrick.com, located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Here's your host, Taylor Merrick.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Taylor Merrick Podcast. Welcome, new listeners to the podcast and old listeners. This is a special episode. Finally made it to episode number 50. This podcast, well, see, had I been doing it right, I would be past 52 right now. But there's a couple family things, issues, and colds, whatnot going on. I wasn't able to get them all out, so I'm behind a few. But we've hit the big 5-0, episode number 50. I'm excited. And hey, if you're excited and you want to call and share your excitement, you can go ahead and do so. We have a toll-free number just for that purpose anytime. Simply dial 1-866-TMP-2860, and you can leave a message. And if you want to listen to the podcast on your phone, simply dial 1-831-480-3979. It'll be latest episode streamed to you live right over the phone. You can literally punch it in right now and listen to it. And yes, I'm doing most of my episodes now, starting from, well, episode 49, and I'm gonna see how well it goes. But while this episode is being recorded, it is also being broadcasted live on Ustream TV. I have his channel on there, and the link to it will be in the show notes if you want to get to the Ustream channel, a live video stream of me talking, or listening to a past one and watching me instead of listening to me. But I'd also encourage you to use the resources available to you, specifically heading out to the TaylorMerrick.com blog website and reading the post there and checking out the forum, posting there, joining in a conversation. Also, add me as a friend on Twitter. You can add me as a friend on Facebook. You can join my Facebook group. You can donate. There's a myriad of stuff. You can even contact me on the website, and encourage you to head on out to the TaylorMerrick.com website if you haven't been out there already and look at all the big 50. I'm excited. Sponsored by GoDaddy. Today you'll learn about finances, about surviving a layoff. In business, you'll learn about 10 steps to a successful online empire. And for technology, you'll learn about Intel on the lookout. Are you looking for a place to get a domain name or web hosting? Well, then look no further. GoDaddy is the answer to all your questions. They have 24/7 technical support, reachable on a phone. They have best domain name pricing you can find anywhere. They have everything and anything that you need to make and get and keep your piece of the internet and make your piece of the internet successful. And when you go out to GoDaddy.com to purchase your domain names, why don't you use these two codes to help you save next time you purchase? And when you're in a checkout line, you have your web hosting order ready for when you're getting web hosting through GoDaddy. Use the code POD11, P-O-D-11, to save 10% on that. Or just in general, buying a domain name or anything else,
Use the code BLUE11, BLU11. Try GoDaddy today, own your piece of the internet, and save.
You know, as for finances today, it is surviving a layoff. And this article I got while I was browsing Technorati, very interesting stuff, is from worktree.com. It's a job search portal, and it wrote an article, and it's pretty interesting. And this article is by Nathan Neuberger, and this will give you 8 must-know tips on effectively surviving a layoff. Fact, losing a job is a stressful life event, could be the most. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. With this in mind, you need a good action plan in order to recover as quickly as possible from a job loss. Following 8 tips will make sure that recover from a layoff sooner than you think. Number 1, it is stated and obvious, don't panic. You may have lost your job, but you have not lost everything. You're a skilled individual, and you will work again. You have talents, you're able to use them, you're not an invalid, although even invalids can work. Don't ever lose sight of those 2 simple sentences. Do not let yourself fall into a spiral of negative thinking. Think back to all the other people you know have lost jobs in the past and now have a job. Step 2, reflect and recover. Step back, clear your head. And this is what you want to do. Anger and fear are the 2 most common emotions experienced after it, and neither is conductive and beneficial. So just calm down. Take some time to talk through your feelings if you want to with friends and family members. And just make that taken care of. Number 3, organize your finances. Take a serious look at your spending habits. List your monthly expenses into 2 groups, absolutely necessary and optional. If you've already been laid off, you should start limiting your spending to the first category, absolutely necessary. If you're still employed but fearing what the future may hold, start cutting back in the second category. A general rule of thumb is to keep enough cash flow to cover at least 2 months' worth of expenses in the bank for emergencies. And that's what any rich person would tell you too. 2-3 months at least, cash in the bank in case something happens, emergency-wise. If you have not had a chance to do so, as of the time of termination, you still have options. Don't forget, most companies offer severance package to laid-off employees. In addition, you can also contact your local unemployment agency regarding unemployment benefits. Step number 4 is insurance. Now, because you've lost your job doesn't mean you and your family have immediately lost all your insurance coverage. Just means you're now responsible for paying for it all by yourself. Now, under this COBRA Act, you can generally remain with the former employee's plan for up to 18 months as long as you pay the premiums. And there are time limits for signing up for COBRA. You can get more information from the Human Resources Department of your former employer. Now, number 5 is update your resume. Take account of all the skills and responsibilities you have acquired. Make sure you include these on your updated resume. Now, this is not the time to be modest, or be proud of your accomplishments. If you're unsure how to lay out or word your resume, yeah, there's many successful examples on the internet, bookstore, library, friends, family members. Remember, a good resume can make the difference between being granted an interview or not. It's time to make your resume shine. Number 6, activate your network. Do not be ashamed you've been laid off. Tell everyone you think can help you are looking for work. Now, don't cry on the shoulder of anyone that will listen. What this means is you'll be prepared to tell friends, family, and acquaintances that you are looking for work, types of skills you have, type of job you would be interested in. 7, consider using a recruiter. If you want to use a recruiter, there's many advantages. And best of all, most recruiters are completely free to the job seeker. They collect their fees directly from the employer. And tip number 8, if you really feel that you need to do this, then tip number 8 is go back to school. Take advantage of the time by bettering yourself professionally and personally. Some people choose to go back to school and learn an entirely different trade. Others will attend a few classes and sharpen their skills in that area. Still others will go to a 12-month program in a trade school. Don't think your study must be directly career-related. This could be the perfect opportunity to study a foreign language or learn to rollerblade. Layoffs provide people who are used to being busy with a lot of free time, obviously. Make the most of this time by improving yourself. Now, in conclusion, remember that getting laid off is not the end of the world. Whether you're recently unemployed or just feeling a bit uncertain about your job security in these tough economic times, 8 survival tips above can help you get back on your feet quickly in the event of a layoff. And thank you to Nathan Neuberger for that article. Link to this will be in the show notes. And if you have questions about this, questions about being laid off, or related or non-related, anything dealing with finances, our toll-free comment line, 1-866-TMP-2860. That will wrap it up for finances. We'll be right back with business.
This show is a proud member of the Financial Podcast Directory. You can find this and other financial-related podcasts dealing with your personal finance at financialpodcastdirectory.com.
This podcast is proudly listed at podcastpickle.com.
As for business today, I found a really interesting blog. I don't know why I didn't find it sooner. It's called Instigator Blog. You can find it at instigatorblog.com. This article will be linked to in the show notes. This blog post will. And this is really interesting. He's a business person and the article is called 10 Steps to Building an Online Media Empire. Now you might be wondering, well, this is relating to blogging and being online. Well, you can take this and you can also apply it into a business sense. And if you're in a business sense of being online, online business or online business blog or such. Now, the article goes on to say, many bloggers dream of creating media empires. Few of us even come close. Now, having a popular blog is a minor step. It's what you do next that's critical. Many people start selling advertising or try and build revenue through affiliates. There's also ebooks, white papers, or consulting services. All good things, but relatively small steps. Now, of course, it's understandable. A few of us blog full-time, and it's not easy to blog full-time and be able to pay the bills. The amount of time, dedication, and expertise required is immense. But when you see examples of people building out mini media empires such as TechCrunch, GigaOM, ProBlogger, No More Media, and Positive Media Blog Network and others, we feel like it's possible for us as well. And it is. Wendy Pearsall has just proven it. Now, she recently announced she converted her extremely popular blog, eMoms at Home, into a small media empire. She launched 6 additional blog channels all related to stay-at-home working parents. Wendy now has her own blog network, although she's redefined it as a magazine. That was a great move for Wendy. It helps her extend her brand, but remain focused on specialty and niche. A couple years when people think about working-at-home parents, they're going to think Wendy Pearsall or eMoms at Home. And you can't understate the value of that. Now, how did she pull it off? Well, here's his take on it, the author of this article. Number one, build up a popular blog on a specific niche. Now, you need to have a strong voice in your niche. You need to do all the things required to build up a popular blog. Write well, focus on content, use headlines effectively, have a great blog design, market heavily, leverage social media, build relationships, and so much more. And you could listen to Jarl Starek and his blog if you want to. Now, there's more to developing a popular blog than that, but you know, you get the point. Number two, develop a strong brand. Without a strong brand, it's harder, although not impossible, to build a popular blog. More importantly, without an effective brand, it becomes difficult to translate blog successes into other endeavors. So it's critical to have a great brand, which should be considered personal brand, and make sure it permeates everything you do. Number three, make lots of friends. And blogosphere is built on a concept of connections and interconnections and friends. It succeeds because it encourages and rewards those who have conversations with others. Now you need to become part of the blog community. Check that. You need to be at the center of your blog community. Number 4, master monetization. Your media empire will die on the table if you can't monetize it. And using Google AdSense isn't enough. You need to learn about affiliates, sponsorships, text link ads, sponsored reviews, and much, much more. Number 5, learn more about marketing. There are certain techniques you can use to market your blog, but the world of marketing is oh so much bigger. World is. And once you get into media empire territory, you'll need to understand a lot more about marketing online and offline. Learn about email marketing, autoresponders. Number 6, find opportunities offline and speaking engagements, coaching, consulting gigs, something taking a different angle and developing a reputation beyond a blogger. Number 7, get help. Now, you can't build it alone. You need great people around you. Over time, your role will be less about writing and day-to-day minutiae and more about overseeing the entire operation. You'll need people to help you in those areas where you're lacking expertise. And there's a bunch of people that can help you. Just have to find them. And remember, you're a boss now, not a single person working alone. Number 8, be a teacher. Now, you've accumulated a certain amount of knowledge to this point, but unless you share it, your empire will suffer. You need to share it with the outside world to attract visitors, build reputation, grow karma, but more importantly, you need to share that knowledge with your team. Don't expect each person you bring on board to be good, experienced, and motivated as you. They're now their boss, but you're also their teacher. And the more they know, the more they excel, and the more you benefit. Get my point? Get teaching. 9, realize it's a business. You're past being a blogger now, you're running a business. It means more learning in areas of operations, accounting, finance, marketing, startups, management, all that fun stuff. You won't be an expert overnight, and there's a good chance if you come from the blogging world that your business experience is limited, but that doesn't mean you can't succeed. And number 10, expand slowly, but promote like crazy. Now, you can't build a blog network like B5 Media in a day. Grow slowly, experiment, test your assumptions, tinker, and keep growing. You most likely won't have a lot of money to support your efforts, so don't expand like a fiend. But promote obviously what you're doing. Don't hold back when it comes to tooting your own horn, beating the drum, making noise. It's not about being an egomaniac, it's about maximizing everything you've learned towards generating tons and tons and tons of buzz and possibly taking it viral. And if you're ready to invest a crazy amount of time, get into startup mode, take a risk, and leverage your knowledge, go for it, and build your media empire, and follow Wendy Pearsall's example. And I have the link to this article in the show notes, and you can read through it all, click on all the links coming into it. Very interesting article, very in-depth, and I suggest you listen to it a couple times, read over it a couple times, and see where you go from there. And if you have any questions anytime, by all means, feel free to call toll-free 1-866-TMP-2860. And if you don't feel like calling on the phone, leaving a message, or if you're outside the United States, simply go to taylormerrick.com and click on the Contact Me button. You can send me an email of your question. And that is it for business. We'll be right back with technology.
Blueberry.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
You are listening to yet another one of the fine members of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find more of the member shows over at techpodcasts.com.
As for technology today, I've spoken on this a lot. And it's dealing with these big chips, quad-core chips, 60-core chips, 80-core chips. Well, Intel is on the lookout for the next big thing, and that's just stating the obvious. And while they're going to be shedding some light this week on what they're looking for, they're having the premier event of the year, the Intel Developer Forum, that's going to be held at Moscone Center in San Francisco Tuesday through Thursday this week. Now, Intel usually holds two of these forums in San Francisco annually, but moved a spring event to Beijing this year to highlight the company's growing China operation and cut the cost of holding two U.S. events. Now, CEO Paul Antellini, Antellini will get things going Tuesday morning. He's expected to preview Intel's upcoming parent generation of processors. This processor is expected to be using a new, smaller 45 nanometer manufacturing technology. Later in the week, they're going to be highlighting the company's growing interest in low-power mobile and consumer electronics devices that could help Intel cope with the rapidly maturing PC market. Now, Intel is on a roll, following a dismal period which it lost a significant market share and design credibility to AMD. And that was AMD's Opteron chip. It was the processor of choice in the server market right up until the middle of last year when Intel introduced dual-core-based chips based on a new design, and then combines those chips in a package to make quad-core processors, which basically, in a nutshell, what they meant is they took two dual cores, Intel did, and slapped them together and made a quad-core. And look, ooh, I got a quad-core! Let me sell that. And so then AMD suffered about that, and then just last week, episode number 49, I announced that Barcelona, AMD's quad-core processor, came out there hoping that it'll regain some momentum, but it's not going to land a knockout blow that AMD wanted when it started developing the chip in the first place. And Intel hopes to regain a decisive lead with the Pyron processors, and they're expected to arrive by Thanksgiving 2007. So expect to hear a lot about these chips, such as specifications, power consumption, benchmark projections, and a 45 nanometer level well before AMD is expected to do so in mid-2008. And the parent chip is manufacturing technology also makes it possible to cram more transistors on each chip and allows Intel to cut more chips from each 300 millimeter silicon wafer it produces, which lowers the overall cost for making each chip and makes the accountants happy. And so then that's what's happening. AMD's trying to get back to market. Intel is on the lookout for the next big thing, expecting new chips to be coming out in Thanksgiving, being unveiled this week. And so very interesting there. And on a side note, I really, 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 really want to talk about this, and this link will be in the show notes. It's not going to be in a headline title because it just wouldn't work, but I wanted to cram it in. And that's the Intel Touch. I looked at that thing. Intel Touch. See, look, I already screwed up the joke. And it wasn't even a joke. Anyways. The Apple Touch. The iPod Touch. It looks just like the iPhone, except it's an iPod and strictly an iPod. And that's one thing that I like about it. Now I can go out and I can buy iPod Touch and I can basically tout it around and fool everybody saying, oh look, I got an iPhone, but you know, I just can't make calls. The thing I like about this iPod Touch is that interface is the same as the iPhone, which is make me excited already about it. The second thing is it has a Wi-Fi store. And you can Wi-Fi connect to iTunes and download files, music, video, onto your iPod without even having to take the wire and plug it into the computer and connect to iTunes and do all that. And sync it up, do all that. It's just, oh, I want this one. Okay, bye. And you could just be sitting outside and, oh, look, I got the music. Now, there's been discussions going on. Paul Culligan has been talking about it on and off. Some people are saying, yeah, it has podcasting capability in a Wi-Fi store. It seems to be a rumor floating around. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm thinking not, because it seems like the Wi-Fi store is sticking strictly with music and video. And so that's their only disadvantage I don't like about the iPod Touch is file size. The hard drive size. It's 8 gigabyte and like 16 gigabyte. And so 8 gigabyte and 16 gigabyte, small, very small. I have iPod video right here, 30 gigabytes, and why would I pay more to get less storage space? I don't know why, but I expect Apple to be doing some price cuts, because now they just slashed iPhone, and so they're going to have to do a whole bunch of rearranging, reorganization to get that going. Otherwise, people will be mad, hey, why'd I pay so much for a phone that's now worth much less? And why do I have to pay more to get less memory? Things like that. So, but if you want to talk about this technology topic and tell them to look out for next big thing, or iPod Touch, or any other thing, or if you even have a question, by all means, call in the U.S. toll free 1-866-TMP-2860. Or email me, taylor@taylormerrick.com. That is it for technology.
Thanks for listening to this episode in the Taylor Merrick Podcast. Show notes for this episode and past episodes can be found by going to taylormerrick.com. If you have any questions, comments, ideas at any time, please call 1-866-TMP-2860. Don't forget to join in the conversation at the Taylor Merrick Podcast forums. I'm Taylor Merrick, and I will see you next week.